Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
You're listening to the best of Cresta in the Afternoon.
From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. You're listening to Cresta in the Afternoon.
And a great afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta. Coming up in just a minute, the president of Renewal Ministries, host of the weekly television program, The Choices We Face, Ralph Martin. He has penned what I consider to be, only God knows, of course, in the long run, I think this is going to be a spiritual classic. It's called The Fulfillment of All Desire, a guidebook for the journey to God based on the wisdom of the saints. And if you've gotten confused about all these different ways, you know, the little way, the purgative way, unitive way, and the mansions and of St. Teresa and these dark nights, and you don't know how this jumble all fits together. Ralph has done a spectacular job of making it comprehensible, not only in its organization and format, but the book itself is peppered with outstanding quotes from the doctors of the church and from Pope John Paul II. This is going to be something you want to hear. If you want all of us, I mean, if you're listening to this program, you know, I assume that you are interested in the pursuit of God, the hunger for God. I know it comes and goes for a lot of us, but you know, it's what you've chosen. It's the path you've chosen. You want to be in union with Him. You want to enjoy eternity with Him. And so we're going to take some time in this next hour to go over the way seven doctors of the church understood this journey to God. So here's the phone number. Now, I'm not promising to take all the calls today. And that is because I want to make sure we have enough time to do exposition on the book. But at the same time, here's the phone number. Keep it nearby. Do call. And as the calls work their way into a pattern, I'll be glad to bring you up and put you on the air. And you can conduct part of the interview with Ralph. 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. But first, let's get those news headlines with Nick Tom.
Thank you, Alan. Good afternoon. This is your Ave Maria Radio News on Friday, August 17th, the Feast of St. Joan of the Cross. A New York storage company's billboard has created a storm of controversy among pro-life activists. The ad features a wire coat hanger with the slogan, "Your closet space is shrinking as fast as her right to choose." Catholic League President Bill Donahue was outraged by the billboard and says it actually came up short on the statement it was trying to make.
What exactly are they avoiding? How come they didn't complete the subject? Defending the right of a woman to choose. What is she choosing? She's not choosing apple pie over strawberries. No, she's choosing not to become a parent because she doesn't want the kid to live.
An official with the Manhattan division of the Catholic League called the billboard trashy and vulgar and added that it is, quote, in your face with its crudity. This is not the first time the storage company has erected a controversial ad. One earlier billboard depicted a confidential document with the slogan, "Your closet is scarier than Bush's agenda." A senior Iranian cleric says the U.S. is inviting a fight with Iran after designated Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps as a foreign terrorist group. Ahmed Khatami told worshippers today that America could not win that fight. Khatami is a member of the Assembly of Experts, which is an influential clerical group that holds the power to appoint or oust Iranian leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Earlier this week, U.S. officials hinted they may soon name the Revolutionary Guard as a foreign terrorist group. The decision reflects frustration over Tehran's nuclear program and suspected role in Iraqi violence. The underground rescue operation to find six missing miners in the Crandall Canyon mine has ceased. That's word from Mine Safety and Health Administration's Richard Stickler, who says the decision was made after the deaths of three workers last night in a cave-in.
And last night, the right rib exploded off of the coal pillar with tremendous force, removed it, knocked out all the ground support we had in place, and unfortunately, we had nine miners right in that area.
He says while the underground effort has stopped, the above-ground drilling of boreholes will continue. The Pittsburgh Steelers' 17-page hotel contract that lists their hotel requirements when playing road games was leaked this week. The Steelers have not commented about the document being made public, but it does provide interesting details. The rider is provided to the hotels where the Steelers stay and stipulates what services and food are to be provided and what is not allowed, namely alcohol. All minibar alcohol must be removed, and players cannot request it from room service. The Steelers also want all players on the same hotel floor, or if that's not possible, on adjacent floors with no outside guests. The Steelers writer makes no specific room requests, such as a suite for team owner Dan Rooney or coach Mike Tomlin. Other highlights of the writer, a Catholic priest in a meeting room must be provided for a mass the day the team arrives. Of course, the Rooney family is devoutly Catholic, and only Heinz ketchup may be provided for meals. Heinz did pay $57 million for the naming rights at Heinz Field. And now your fascinating fact for the day. About 36 million phone calls are placed each day in New York alone. Reporting for Ave Maria Radio News, I'm Nick Tom.
You're listening to the best of Cresta in the Afternoon.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. Good to be back with you. We've got an hour to talk about things that matter most. With me right now, Ralph Martin, president of Renewal Ministries, host of the weekly television program, The Choices We Face. He is currently assistant professor of theology at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in the Archdiocese of Detroit, and visiting professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville, author of many books, including the one I've been raving about, The Fulfillment of All Desire, a guidebook for the journey to God based on the wisdom of the saints. Of course, we will have it available in the online bookstore today. And, Ralph, great to have you back.
Al, it's good to be back, and it's been a while, and it's kind of exciting to see you live and in person when I just listened to you on the radio in my car coming home from the seminary.
Well, I prefer that people don't see me, to be honest with you.
The great thing about radio is you can come as you are. Yes. Like, I didn't have to put a coat and tie on, and that's really great.
Well, this book excites me. I know you've been studying the mystics and doctors of the church on these topics for years, but I know that as I was an evangelical Protestant and growing in my understanding of union with God, I found myself more and more turning to Catholic writers. But I couldn't figure out how they fit in to one another. There's a lot of the language, you know, centuries ago, and imagery doesn't always catch. And what's the, you know, you got these different ways, as I said earlier. You got a purgative way, you've got a illuminative way, you have a unitive way, you've got these seven mansions, you've got the dark night of the soul. What's the connection between all of these? And so I'm assuming that somewhere along the line you realized that this was a problem.
Well, you know, it started off more personally than that. It started off when I graduated from Notre Dame, you know, many years ago. I had a real reconversion in my life, and I knew that there was some depth in these saints and doctors of the church. So I picked up a book of John of the Cross, The Ascent of Mount Carmel, and I just couldn't figure out what was going on, and what I could figure out seemed so impossible and so extreme that I just put it down. I just couldn't relate to it. I couldn't figure it out. And then, like 30 years later or whatever, you and I were taking classes at the seminary together.
Yep, that's right.
And I had to read for an assignment in a spirituality class another book of John of the Cross called Spiritual Canticle. And I took it with me on a trip. I was in Europe. I was at an airport in Switzerland. I remember reading my reading assignment, and all of a sudden, the lights went on. It's like the Lord said, okay, you know, you've suffered long enough trying to understand them. Here's what's going on. Yeah. I just felt like God had mercy on me and kind of helped me understand what was happening there. And it was, like, so personally helpful. It was like Everything I'd ever felt or desired or longed for or experienced, whether natural or supernatural or the earth or flowers or music or love or whatever, it all came together, you know? Yeah. And I felt like, wow, I've got to know more. And so I just read all of John again, and then I, you know, went to his friend Teresa, and then I went to the third Carmelite, Therese, and then I figured, you know, life is short. You know, let's really go to the best we have in the church, not only people who are saints, but people who have been recognized by the church as having a depth of wisdom and knowledge about the Christian life. And so I tried to find the doctors of the church in the area of spirituality, you know, the journey. How do you respond to God? So that's how I got these seven doctors. But it was personal. It was like, I need to know more. I want more of God. You know, wow, I'm getting understanding about things in my life I didn't know. I was probably asleep in CCD class and didn't hear these things. And just tremendously helpful things for me personally. And that's how it all started about 10 years ago, I guess.
Oh, that's great. Now, you also have, we should let people know, you have a tape series on many of these. Francis Sales, I know, Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross.
Yeah, the way it all started, I read these for myself. And then I felt like, well, gee, other people could really benefit too. And so I did a teaching series at a parish or on a retreat or something on each of the saints individually. So I have a CD album on John of the Cross, a CD album on Teresa of Avila, and all the others. And then I felt like there's such a commonality here. You know, we're so used to kind of compartmentalizing. We talk about Franciscan spirituality and Carmelite spirituality, Benedictine and Dominican. And it kind of feels like it's optional ice cream flavors or something. And there's certainly distinctives there. But what most struck me is that they all see the same thing. God is showing them the same wisdom about how to make progress and what holds us back and how much God wants to do for us. And I was more struck by what they have in common than what the differences were. And I wanted to share that with people, so that's how the book came about.
Well, the seven doctors that you focus on.
We start with Augustine, whose insights into sin and grace and conversion and the agony of not being able to change in your life and being a slave to sin is so great. And then Bernard of Clairvaux, who does this like 30-year commentary on the Song of Songs, talking about the love relationship between Christ and the individual and Christ and the church. And you know, a lot of times people say, oh, these are mystics. They're off there in left field in their strange, subjective,
and they're
weird
beyond
experiences.
Me,
and I almost wish we could do away with the word mystic, Al. You know, what these people are disciples of Christ. They're people who have met the Lord. They're people who have discovered the pearl of great price. They're people who know there's a treasure buried in the field. They're people who are trying to give their whole selves to God and to become a disciple of Christ. They're living the gospel. And that's another thing that struck me. Yes, they talk about certain experiences that people can have along the way, but that's not the main thing. What they're mainly talking about is commitment, is about discipleship, is about loving God and loving your neighbor and letting him love us and letting him dwell in us. It's so biblical.
Yeah.
And the stuff that first struck me as extreme, I'd say, gee, that sounds a little extreme. And I find it in the scripture.
Yes.
And not only that, but they refer explicitly to the scriptural foundations for what they're doing. I mean,
so the biblical worldview presupposed
it really is.
This.
Yeah, that's another thing. You know, there's a chapter here called The Biblical Worldview. And a lot of times people talk about the spiritual life as something like a little hothouse, you know, the interior life or, you know, your prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't talk about it like that. They talk about it. This is reality. This is God. This is the universe. This is the earth. This is the human race. This is what God is doing with it. This is where it's all heading. And so they all presuppose being awesomely struck by the truth of Revelation, what God shows us about how life is short and there's only one purpose to life, and we're heading for heaven, and we're heading for transformation, we're heading for resurrection, we're heading for seeing God face to face, and we need to be prepared for that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's so biblical, and it's so inspiring, and it's so sound, and I almost wish we could do away with the word mystical.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It does. When you say mystical or mystic, it seems to create a special category of Christian that is beyond us.
And it's sort of an optional personality quirk. Certain people kind of like that kind of stuff.
It's like they like art, or they like poetry, or they. I don't, so I have nothing to do. And mystics, they like contemplation, and I don't, so I don't have to be part of this.
I almost wish we could do away with the word contemplation.
Yeah.
That's another scary word. Yeah. It's like, what the heck is contemplation? You know, everybody who hears the word says, do I or don't I, or is this really, what am I experiencing in contemplation? And all I would say is that it's a sense of the presence of God. It's something more than just we're generating by our own thinking or our own willing. It's something that God is doing by giving us an insight or kind of inflaming our will with greater love for Him or giving us a greater desire for Him. It's an action of God in our soul that's more than just our own effort. It's God kind of coming to us. We're disposing ourselves for God's action, and contemplation is just God's action. It's God encouraging us or God correcting us or in the very subtle, normal, ordinary ways in which it happens.
Yes. Let me come back to the question about the doctors. Augustine, Bernard of Clairvaux.
Yeah. Catherine of Siena. Yeah. A third-order Dominican. Never wanted to go into a convent. Lived as a third-order Dominican. Tremendous example of this profound union with God and this fruitful, bold, courageous action. Yeah. And that's another thing that you find in all these people. Action and prayer go together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the ones in the cloister, like Thérèse of Lisieux, are longing for the salvation of the world and interceding for the salvation of the world. So love of God and love of human beings go together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, holiness isn't this kind of multiplication of pious practices.
Right,
holiness is being transformed into love. You know, and love means love for God and love for people. So Catherine of Siena is just tremendous. She did so much to try to bring peace between warring Italian city states. She told the Pope to get over his fear and get back to Rome. You know,
Rome,
and he did. And he, you know, and so Catherine of Siena died in 1380 at the age of 33, and then Teresa of Avila in the 16th century and John of the Cross, they became friends and encouraged each other. John was 25 years old when he met Teresa, who was about 50. Mm-hmm. And then Francis de Sales, you know, in the 17th, 18th century, and wrote the first book just for lay people.
Huh.
First book in the history of the writing of spirituality just for lay people. He said,
isn't that something?
People think that this is just for nuns and priests. He anticipated Vatican II.
Yeah.
He really did in so many ways.
The universal call to holiness.
Yeah, big, really strong, really big, and good stuff on marriage and sexuality and friendship and living in your occupation in a way that's pleasing to God and handling money as a lay people. I mean, he just really, it's a great book. And then Thérèse of Lisieux at the end of the 19th century, you know, and people think that she's like the easy one or she's the simple one or she's the understandable one, and they kind of sentimentalize her and they just don't a lot of times get the incredible radical witness to love of Christ that's in her life and the tremendous wisdom and insight. And they really are brothers and sisters together, these doctors. And I mean, they're brothers and sisters of Christ, they're brothers and sisters of one another, they're friends of ours, they're teachers. Bernard of Clairvaux says, where are the teachers who will show us the way? Where are the teachers who can help us make progress on this journey? They're here. There are these doctors. And they're living, and they want to teach us.
Well, we're going to go. We're going to go and continue with them, Ralph. Okay, Ralph Martin, my guest, author of The Fulfillment of All Desire, a guidebook for the journey to God based on the wisdom of the saints. We're going to continue our exposition and welcome you to join us at 1-877-573-7825. I'm Al Cresta.
Wouldn't you like to invest with a mutual fund company that helps meet your financial goals and respects your moral values? Ave Maria Mutual Funds strive for strong investment performance using a pro-life, pro-family philosophy. Each fund contains well-managed companies with solid investment fundamentals. None support abortion, pornography, or non-marital benefits. Benefit from the many blessings morally responsible investing has to offer. To start now, contact us at 1-866-AVE-MARIA. That's 1-866-AVE-MARIA. Performance data quoted represents past performance, which is no guarantee of future results. Investment return and principal value are historical and may fluctuate so that the redemption value may be worth more or less the original cost. Prospective investors should read the prospectus carefully and consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses carefully before investing. The prospectus, which can be obtained by calling 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at AveMariaFund.com,
Save this and other information. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
From tutoring to healthcare, Catholic business professionals are finding increased business when advertising with the Catholic Business Pages. Designed to bridge the Catholic community and Catholic business professionals, the Catholic Business Pages can print a large and affordable display ad in their new edition. The Catholic Business Pages is a full-size yellow page style directory that will be distributed free to Catholic parishioners in Southeast Michigan. Annette bought a full-page ad and therefore also received bonus radio ads promoting Sacred Heart Adult Care. Not only did she fill some vacant beds right away, but one of the new residents was praised as being a great addition to the Sacred Heart community. The deadline for the new Catholic Business Pages is September 10th, so call the Catholic Business Pages today at 734-930-4536. Do so before September 10th and get better results when you advertise. That's 734-930-4536. The Catholic Business Pages, your best choice.
You're listening to the best of Cresta in the Afternoon.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta, and with me, Ralph Martin, author of The Fulfillment of All Desire, a guidebook for the journey to God. Now, all of these ways that we talk about, you've got the book organized in the classic purgative way, illuminative way, unitive way, but you the language that you use in each of these areas, like for instance the illuminative way, you describe as reaching stability but moving on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's important because again, there's a false mystique that grows up around some of this language,
mm-hmm.
Which makes it sound like it's for an alien people,
yeah.
Some wonderful people, but alien people,
yeah.
Rather than for me.
Yeah.
So let's go over some of this as you have it in the book, and the purgative way. You talk first of all about awakening and conversion.
Mm-hmm.
Who's our best example?
Well, you know, I use two examples there because God draws people to himself in so many different ways, from so many different situations. And I share the story of Augustine and his conversion, where he was drawn from quite a far distance away in terms of his intellectual confusion, his moral bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are somewhat familiar with his story, but when you actually break it down step by step and take a look at maybe the 25 different steps that the Lord helped him on, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just first he cleared up an intellectual, philosophical confusion he had, and then he got disillusioned with making money as a teacher, and the students weren't paying their tuition, and, you know, he was getting disillusioned with the world in a certain kind of way, and then, of course, his mother praying for him, and then him, quote, accidentally running into some people,
yeah.
you know, or
yeah.
accidentally picking up a book, and
mm-hmm.
just so many ways until he finally got to the point of, I want God, I want Christ, but I can't let go of this sexual addiction that I'm in. I just can't, you know, and he was like going through this agony. And then one day, the Lord just had mercy on him and released him, you know,
yeah.
through a certain set of circumstances. And, you know, when you've been in bondage, you really appreciate your freedom.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
really, in such a way, tells us the details of it in a way that we can relate to. But then Teresa of Avila came in a different way. She never was involved in great sin. And she entered the convent at the age of about 20 or 21 because
lukewarm.
She started off fervent, you know. She, but her motivation was mainly like to save her soul, you know.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
sort of like this is the best way of kind of getting to heaven rather than hell, which is, you know, not a bad motivation,
okay,
you
know. That's right.
But sure. She says for the first couple of years, she was pretty fervent, and some of the things that she talks about in the Fifth Mansion, she was beginning to experience a deeper, you know, sense of God's presence. But then she kind of got off the track, and she said she started to like to visit more in the parlor, and she used to like to tell her visitors how important prayer was, but she wasn't praying. And then she felt so hypocritical. She felt like, what's the use of even trying? She gave up prayer for a whole year, she said. She said the devil really kind of got her off the track. Then one day, she's almost 40 years old, and she's walking down the hallway, and she sees a statue of Christ with the wounds of his passion there. And God has mercy on her. You know, the same statue that she saw for 20 years every day, this time God
just... This time,
yeah.
there's something, it's carrying something that she's never seen before.
Yeah, she just sees something about the meaning of the wounds of Christ and his personal love for her and what he's willing to endure for her and how he was willing to wait for her. And she just was struck to the heart and repented from her lukewarmness. And a couple weeks later, she read the story of Augustine's conversion, the Confessions, and saints make saints, you know, like... And you'll hear other saints talking about them reading Augustine's Confessions or them reading Teresa of Avila, mm-hmm. or Teresa will say she had got some really good insights from John of the Cross. And so this kind of interaction across the centuries that can happen for us right today. So she said, "Boy, I've wasted 20 years here. I got to get going." And she started to really kind of really single mindedly kind of focus on the Lord. And
I was shocked at how active she was.
Yeah.
Because I always thought of her, you know, the popular image of her as a woman of the inner life, a woman of prayer.
Yeah.
But she was founding houses.
She was writing to kings and to the Pope, and she was trying to get John of the Cross out of his jail cell. And, she was arguing with bishops. She was getting thrown out of town. She was falling into the mud. She was sweltering in the Spanish heat. I mean, she was. You know, she founded about 13 monasteries, in her lifetime before she died, and helped John of the Cross get started reforming the men Carmelites.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah, was
when we again something we don't think about when we think of the saints, we don't think about what impeded their progress.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the back of our mind. Somehow we think they were gifted with something that were, or they had access to something that we don't have access to, and that it creates a different quality of person. But she had problems. I mean, she wrote on what impeded her progress.
Yeah, she picks out four or five different things that really affected her, held her back, and one of them she says is bad advice from her confessors. Who told her, "Oh, that doesn't matter. That's no big deal. Why are you confessing that?" Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And she said she really began to do some things that were wrong. They probably weren't, gravely wrong, but they were wrong. They were what we would call venial sins. Mm-hmm. And she said one of the things that she had to come to was an understanding that offending the Lord in a little thing was still offending the Lord. And she had to really come to really understand that there's ways that she had kind of accepted into her life a pattern of doing some wrong things that were not gravely wrong. But she realized that was kind of holding her back from the full union and love relationship with the Lord. And so she said she had to come to decide to... eliminate from her life and just say, I'm not going to do this anymore. Even though it's a small offense, I'm not going to do it. But she doesn't want people to get scrupulous. And she makes a really important distinction between inadvertent venial sins and advertent venial sins. Advertent venial sins, she says it's like this. You say, I know the Lord doesn't want me to do this, and but I want to do it anyway, and I'm going to. Mm-hmm. Because I know it's not really a big sin.
Mm-hmm.
She says the inadvertent venial sin is like what the proverb says, the just man falls seven times a day. That little impatient remark or that little white lie that you tell of embarrassment that isn't really a conscious, cold decision.
Doesn't have full deliberation.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And she says those inadvertent venial sins are going to be with us until the final purification when we see the Lord face to face, but we really can do something about making a decision about not willingly and voluntarily offending the Lord, even in a small matter. That was helpful to me.
Yeah.
I had accepted some little things in my life that were not right. And I was able to, when Teresa said that, I said, wow.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Another thing that was really helpful was what Francis de Sales said about affection for sin. He says sometimes you are no longer committing a particular sin, but you're still nurturing an affection for it in your heart or a nostalgic memory or a future hope. And he gives several examples. He says it's like the Jewish people were brought out of slavery in Egypt into the Promised Land, but Egypt was still in their heart. They still kept talking about, wow, wasn't the food better at each of them? Yeah, really, food was better at each of them. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, same old boring miracles, you know, manna in the morning, quails at night. Wasn't the food better in Egypt, you know? And he says, so sometimes we can no longer be committing a particular sin, but there still can be a nostalgic memory for it that kind of slows us down on the journey to God. And then he gives the example of a doctor who tells a patient, you know, if you keep eating melons, you're going to die. And so, maybe allergic reaction, who knows, you know, 17th, 18th century French medicine.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the person says, well, I don't want to die, so I'm not going to eat melons. But he still likes to look at melons, and he still likes to touch melons. He still likes to smell them. He still likes to talk to his friends about how great melons taste and how he wish he could really still eat melons.
Eat melons, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Francis says that's the affection for sin that's still in your heart. And he says you don't have total control over that, but once you identify it, and you identify as an obstacle, it's like a divided heart in a certain kind of
way.
He says, what you do is you release that affection to the Lord. You close the doors to the past. You close your doors to future hope of sin. And you just really set yourself like flint towards Jerusalem, you know, wanting God and wanting to let go of these things that still cling to us that maybe aren't sins that we're doing, but our affection for sin.
Yeah. So don't feed it with your attention.
Yeah,
don't feed it with your affection.
Yeah, and so I found that helpful. Yeah. I got to tell you, I'd never heard that before. You know, in all my years of Catholic education, I'd never heard about affection for sin, and I just found it personally really, really helpful.
You write about the transformation of thought. Well, no, let me, before we go there. We talked a little bit about the biblical worldview of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we didn't really focus on, but I think we probably should because it's often overlooked, and it has to do with the vision that we live in light of eternity, and that hell is a possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah.
This isn't something we think much about.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us don't think heaven is very close either. But my point is, if we don't think about the possibility of apostasy, and I noticed that even in the when there's been transforming union during the unitive way, that there is the possibility of people still falling away.
Yeah, Teresa of Avila says that no matter how deep the union that you reach with the Lord is in this life, there's always the possibility, even though it's hard.
Yeah.
But she says through a series of small little compromises, small little decisions, small little exceptions that you make, thinking I'm so firmly rooted in God, it doesn't really matter if I do this or that or that type of thing, and that over a period of time, one's heart can become attached again to things other than God, and you know, a whole downward spiral can start, and it's hard, and you're really throwing away a treasure, but she says it can happen, so you need to continue to walk with great humility and great dependence on God, no matter how deep the transformation goes.
I don't want to be morbid. I don't want to be sadistic, but I don't want to be masochistic either. But how the horrors of hell, how much a part did the horrors of the possibility of hell play in the, you know, the spiritual imagination of these writers?
Well, I'd say in the spiritual imagination of the entire church for 2,000 years, it played an important part because it was one of the things that Jesus revealed to us that's really relevant to know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Jesus frequently spoke about this as a real possibility. He wept because he knew that people were rejecting him.
He used the most extreme language.
Yeah, and he says, you know, it's really possible to separate yourself from the immense love and mercy of God, and that is hell. And it's possible because unless hell is possible, heaven is impossible, because what heaven is the freedom of love. It's the Lord didn't create us to be robots. He created us with the awesome gift of freedom, which means that there's a tremendous risk, but there can't be anything real achieved unless there's risk. You know, unless we're free to reject, our acceptance will mean nothing. You know, unless we freely choose to say yes to the invitation that God is giving us and freely choose to accept his love and forgiveness and mercy, it's like being a robot. And the Lord wanted something so much beyond human beings as robots. He wanted human beings to have the capacity to share in his own nature, you know, of freedom of will and intellect. And he wanted to give us the great chance to freely choose to live with him forever in this immense union of love and friendship. But that means that there's the possibility of saying no, or else there's no real possibility of love. You can't have real love without freedom.
Yeah. And to say no to God ultimately means to be apart from him for all eternity.
Yeah. God respects our decision and our freedom. And the saints are really good on this, Al. I don't know if but Catherine of Siena asked God the Father. She said, come on, tell me more about what this is really like. Tell me more about what heaven is like, and tell me more what hell is like, and about purgatory. And God the Father showed her tremendous things that are completely compatible with the doctrine of the church, but kind of like fill in the picture a little bit and make it real.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of these things for all these saints is that this is real to them. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Free choice is real. The love of God is real. The shortness of life is real. The great dignity given to the human being is real. And just kind of it's kind of hit them. You know, the objective revelation of God in Scripture as it's carried in the church is living in them, and they help it make it alive in us.
Ralph, hold it there. We'll come back and continue. Ralph Martin, my guest. The Fulfillment of All Desire, his book, it is a guidebook for the journey to God based on the wisdom of the saints. Our number, if you'd like to join us, 1-877-573-7825. We're going to continue our look at this journey to God.
Ave Maria, Florida is a new hometown in the heart of Collier County that blends European-style architecture and modern luxuries. At Ave Maria, you'll find acres of parks, miles of walkways, a bustling town center, and schools from kindergarten to university, all within steps of your front door. Stop by today and tour the models by Pulte Homes, DeVosta Homes, and Del Webb Communities. For more information, call 800-422-8483. That's 800-422-8483, or on the web at avemaria.com.
Stacy Calder, in an unscripted conversation with Al Cresta, tells why she helps run Faith Financial.
What we like about what we do now is we can really wear our faith on our sleeve, and we can morally direct people's investments.
You're not just believers, I mean, but your faith is integrated into your relationships with your clients in the type of investment that you recommend. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, we're able to screen people's portfolios to find out if their money is indirectly supporting agendas such as the abortion industry, the same-sex lifestyles.
Get morally directed investment advice from Jim and Stacy at Faith Financial Planners today. Call 1-800-529-9434 or go to WDEO.net and click on advertising links. Securities offered through Capital Financial Services, Inc., member NASD SIPC, 48380 Van Dyke Suite 100, Shelby Township, Michigan, 48317.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. Christ is the answer.
Christ is the answer is produced by the Ave Maria Communications Guild and is heard Wednesday evenings at 7:30, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO at 1440 WMAX.
AAA's reliable prepaid 24-hour emergency road service protects you on the road 24/7. Sign up everyone in your family today by calling 1-800-AAA-HELP. They'll love the convenience of their own membership card. You'll love the added peace of mind.
Listening to the best of Cresta in the Afternoon.
I'm Al Cresta. It's great to have you with me. And I'm with Ralph Martin looking at his work, The Fulfillment of All Desire. It comes with endorsements by Father Kieran Cavanaugh, who, I mean, for those who don't know, this is probably the most distinguished writer on Carmelite spirituality, in English anyways. And Father Benedict Rochelle, Father Robert Farisee, who I don't have personal familiarity with, though. I don't know him, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But these are wonderful endorsements.
Maybe I could just mention, Al, where people can get the book.
Yeah. Please.
I know they can get it on your website, right?
Yeah, AveMariaRadio.net. Mm-hmm.
They could also get it from Amazon.com. Oftentimes they're running specials and sales, you know, just www.amazon.com. Just put in the title of the book or the author and it'll come up. Those in Southeast Michigan here can get it right at Our Lady of Grace Bookstore right across from the studio. They could probably also walk into any bookstore across the country and ask them to order it if they don't have it in stock. So thanks for letting people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're going to buy one book on spirituality this year, this is the one you want to buy. It's really, I think it's going to be an enduring classic. Do you mind jumping to a topic that I just have a personal interest in from reading the book? And St. John of the Cross talks about six classes of goods. Okay, and he says we should rejoice in them. And then he goes on to lay out how our rejoicing in temporal goods can cause harm to the soul. So it's a go ahead, and I just wanted to hear more about that.
Well, it's when you first read that, you say, wow, you know, because he's saying, you know, there's temporal goods, there's supernatural goods, there's, you know, all kinds of human goods, and they're real goods, but they're not God. And he's basically saying everything that exists exists to play a role in glorifying God and leading us to God. So he says, like, yes, rejoice in your children, but rejoice even more that they're on their way to heaven.
Yeah.
Yes, rejoice that your child got a good job, but rejoice even more that they're living in a right relationship with God. Or rejoice that you got a raise at work, but rejoice even more that you know how to use that money in a way that's pleasing to God. That doesn't right. doesn't hurt your soul, you know,
yeah.
kind of thing. Or,
yeah.
you know, he's basically kind of keeping our eyes on priorities, and it's basically what C.S. Lewis says about when you put the second place things in the first place, you put an unbearable pressure on them, and they get distorted and ruined.
They can't hold.
They're not God, and so yeah, they can't hold the hopes that only God can fulfill in us, the desires that we have that only God can fulfill. And so C.S. Lewis says when you put God in the first place, everything else in the universe can take its proper place and be enjoyed in even greater measure than when you try to enjoy them apart from God or as a substitute for God. And you see that in the writings of the saints. You should. John of the Cross has these most incredible lines about singing with love the creation and joining in the song that the Son of God is singing over the universe. And
this is a man who's in touch with his senses.
Exactly.
Seeing
yeah,
the creative
yeah,
order of
yeah,
things.
And he's seeing how our senses
yeah.
is are leading us to something awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and so the senses and the goods of the earth properly received as gifts from God can lead us to God, but when they get held on to as a substitute for God, or when we look to find in them a joy or a pleasure or a security or whatever that only God himself can give, then we close our soul off
yeah.
from
yeah.
what we really want.
Yeah. And we lose the happiness, and
yeah.
we lose the pleasure,
yeah.
and we lose God.
Yeah, yeah. So this strange thing that Jesus says about, unless you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. He who would save his life will lose it. He who will lose it will find it. It's a paradox, but it's the mystery of going through the cross to resurrection glory in all the decisions, you know, of our life. And so it's good news, Al. The whole thing is really good news.
Yes. Now, we talked a little bit off the air about the classic language, the purgative
mm-hmm.
way, the illuminative way, the unitive way, and
mm-hmm.
of course you include those here,
mm-hmm.
But the purgative way is transformation begins, the illuminative way is reaching stability but moving on, and the unitive way is transforming union.
Mm-hmm.
And let me jump to transforming union mm-hmm. a bit, because we almost never get there,
yeah.
because we're talking too much about awakening and conversion.
Yeah.
But a distinction, again, I think it may be John of the Cross, who makes a distinction between spiritual betrothal and spiritual marriage.
Yeah.
What is that about?
Yeah, well, Teresa and John particularly, but also Catherine of Siena and also Bernard of Clairvaux, across the centuries and across cultures, across the male-female sensibilities, talk about the Lord beginning in baptism a process of transformation and actually affecting a union with us as we're baptized, that then it has to unfold until it permeates every kind of part of our life over the course of our lifetime. And if it's not completed in this lifetime, you know, continuing in purgatory. And that the spiritual, they use the image of the closest human relationships. They use the images of friendship mm-hmm. and of marriage. And they say at a certain point, there's been such a stability and a perseverance on the spiritual journey that the Lord sometimes gives a token of encouragement that they call spiritual betrothal, where the Lord says, good work. Yes, you're really on the right track. Yes, I really want this for you. Keep mm-hmm. it up. And there's something like a promise of the fuller union that's coming. And then the fuller union is coming, Teresa compares to a marriage relationship, where the two really become one. And, you know, of course, it's an analogy, and Teresa says, you know, it's an imperfect analogy. Yeah. But what it means is that there's nothing between you and the Lord. Like Catherine Siena says, the greatest suffering in life...
Spiritual marriage.
Yeah, spiritual marriage. Uh-huh. The greatest suffering in life, Catherine says, because God the Father told her, is that not physical suffering, but the suffering of opposing my will. And that the greatest anguish in people's life is resisting my will. And the greatest joy in my life is being united with my will. Mm. So what holiness is and what the spiritual marriage is loving what God loves.
Yeah.
Hating
yeah.
what God hates. Wanting what God wants. And there being no impediment or resistance to the will of God, which is so good. The will of God is so good. The will of God for our happiness, for our joy, for the fulfillment of our desires is so good. And it's removing the deceptions, the false thinking, the fears. Perfect love cast out fear. All the things we're clinging to as substitutes for God, to allow God to be all in all in our life. And so it's a depth of stable union where the resistance and impediments to the oneness between God and ourselves have been removed by a process of purification and growth.
That's spiritual marriage.
Yeah.
Prior to that is spiritual betrothal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not all the saints use this language, but a number of them do.
It's worth pointing out because there's something there that they're distinguishing.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
We have in Scripture we have received the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of our inheritance. Mm-hmm. How does that relate to this distinction between spiritual betrothal and spiritual marriage?
Yeah, the spiritual betrothal is sort of like a promise that it's close.
Okay.
Keep on.
Okay.
It's like, yes, there's this really seriousness here, and yes, there's really progress here, and yes, it's coming. It can come in a sense of a greater freedom, a greater stability. It could come through a particular communication the Lord might give, a particular image He might give, or a vision.
So is
it may not have any of those special things. It may just be a sense that you're really in a different place than you were before.
Is it a spiritual? Is it a spiritual act? Something that occurs to you, or is it a state that you enter?
It's a state that you enter, and you may or may not notice when you enter it, and you may not be even sure you're in it.
Okay.
And it's not so much even important to know where you are according to this terminology. Yeah. The important thing is to know how to keep moving forward.
Is to let the language keep moving forward.
Yeah, right. And
rather than getting too...
Yeah, too introspective and too self-analytical about, you know, where am I, and, you know, I don't know whether I'm in the fourth or fifth mansion. That's not the point. The point is that, what I'd really like to say is what the point is that tremendous progress in transformation into the image of Christ is possible in this life.
In this life.
And not only is it possible, but it's necessary. Because, you know, the Scripture says, strive for that holiness without which nobody can see God, from Hebrews chapter 12. And so if it doesn't happen in this life, it's got to happen before we see God. So that's where purgatory comes in. But the sooner it happens, the better.
Yeah.
Because the more then we'll be able to be a blessing to other people and not just another problem in people's lives, it will be able to be somebody who's operating out of the perspective of the Lord himself and will be able to serve. And that's why this tremendous apostolic fruitfulness you see in the lives of the saints after they go through a certain process of transformation.
Yes, even after a spiritual marriage, there's this, the fruitfulness
follows.
It's
one of the
real, it isn't as though they somehow now are taken out of the world of activity.
No, in fact Teresa says, when you're going through the purification and when it's intense, when the dark night's there, when you're being tested, when you're being stripped, when you're being emptied, sometimes you feel like, wow, being with people doesn't work. Being alone doesn't work. I just want to die and go to God. You know, it's just nothing satisfies. And then she says, when you come through that at a certain point and the spiritual marriage happens, you say, Lord, if you want me to stay here for 1,000 years, I'm willing to stay here. I want to work for the glory of souls. I want to do everything I can to advance your kingdom. I'm willing to suffer 1,000 lifetimes in order to serve you. So there's like a switch from the agony of the purification, the transformation, to the joy of serving Christ in a new freedom, and a new freedom of fear, and a new freedom from suffering.
And a new sensitivity to others.
Yes, and
that's a very important point, isn't it?
A sensitivity to others, and sensitivity to creation, and sensitivity to beauty, and sensitivity to love. Yeah, it's good stuff.
This is good news.
It's good news, yeah.
Ralph Holden there will come back and continue. My guest, Ralph Martin, the author of The Fulfillment of All Desire, will come back and tell you how the book is available to you. Also, a few notes about tonight's programming on EWTN. I'm Al Cresta. More coming up.
Good afternoon. My name is Carl Brenner, and I am the clinical director of Brenner Prosthetic Specialists. Since 1944, three generations of the Brenner family have been helping patients who have undergone amputation surgery to lead more active lives by using the most innovative prosthetic technology to custom design and build artificial limbs. With 63 years of experience and our use of the most advanced interactive procedures, we can guarantee the fit of your new prosthesis. Let me repeat that. If you determine that the new prosthesis we have custom designed and built to your personal specifications is not any better than your previous artificial limb, we guarantee that Brenner Prosthetic Specialists will not bill you or your insurance company for any medically necessary services provided to you. If you would like to learn more about our no better, no bill prosthetic guarantee, please arrange for a free consultation by calling Brenner Prosthetic Specialists at 800-451-LIMB. That's 800-451-LIMB. 800-451-5462. Thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Nick Tom from Cresta in the Afternoon, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about my recent experience with Ken Town at Fellowship Home Lending. As first-time homebuyers, my wife and I were nervous and unsure going into the process, but it wasn't long before Ken had us really at ease. He took the time to become invested in us as people and really get to know our particular situation. Ken presented us with a number of different mortgage options that all addressed our needs in a particular way. By the time we made it to the closing table, we felt educated, secure, and confident that we had gotten the best product available. You see, at Fellowship Home Lending, there was no pressure, no attempt to bump us up over what we could afford. Just a staff that genuinely cared about what was best for us and delivered. So whether it's a first mortgage, refinance, debt consolidation, or home equity loan you need, call Ken at Fellowship Home Lending. Give him a call today, 1-800-660-6433. Once again, that's 800-660-6433. Fellowship Home Lending, where the motto, lend to your neighbor as yourself, is not just catchy words, but a way that they do business.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. With me, Ralph Martin, president of Renewal Ministries. And you know Ralph, of course, from his weekly program, The Choices We Face. He has written The Fulfillment of All Desire. Off the air, we're talking about the title itself. This is the title itself tells us that renunciation isn't the end.
Fulfillment is the end.
Fulfillment is the end.
You and I were talking about how at different times in our life we get this glimpse that
we want to be holy. We would really like to be a saint. We feel that call, but then we get discouraged as life goes on. And one of the things that happened with me and why I really wrote this book is that these saints came along and said, what you dreamed for and what you hope would be possible is, and we're here to help you.
Yeah.
And they have been here to help me, and I know they're eager to help all our listeners, and holiness is possible, and never on our own strength or effort, but with the help of God and His friends, we can really move along.
And we should never allow ourselves to accept the fragmentation, the brokenness, the disappointments of this world as
it's
though
not
they were
end.
The final word.
It's not the final word. The final word is the fulfillment of all desire beyond our wildest dreams.
Now, talk to me about the work of the Holy Spirit in sustaining that, because I know sometimes we think a mark of maturity is to be able to live with disappointment and ambiguity, and then we fall away from the zeal, the vision of what can be what's possible.
Yeah.
And how does the work of the Holy Spirit work here?
I was surprised to find this, but in all these saints, they're absolutely clear that no amount of effort and willpower on our part is enough to bring about this transformation. John of Cross says, all you can do is dispose yourself for grace.
Yeah.
All you can do is, you know, like the, what was that movie, you know, Build It and They'll Come?
Yeah.
All you can do is take your poor little loaves and fishes and offer them. And it's the Lord that will multiply them. We take our prayer, we take our renunciation, we take our suffering, and it's poor and it's weak and it's imperfect and it's distracted and it's worldly and it's fleshly and it's everything else. We take that and we offer it the best we can. We go to daily mass as best we can. We have a prayer time as best we can. We do some spiritual reading. We try to love and forgive others and fulfill the duties of our state in life and keep offering that to the Lord, and He will come.
Yeah.
And that's what the saints say. All you can do is dispose yourself. You can't bring this about. You can't bring this about by saying 1,000 rosaries.
You can gather the kindling.
Yeah, you can.
But you can't start the fire.
You can point in His direction. You can look in His direction. And Thérèse of Lisieux has this most heart-rending, heart-touching story of how she was like a little bird who couldn't fly.
Yeah.
And she was trying to look towards the sun, but dark clouds are covering the sun. And all she could do was just kind of keep pointing His direction until the great eagle came and carried her.
Ralph, thanks so much. I'd love to go on. Again, The Fulfillment of All Desire, Ralph Martin, available at AveMaryRadio.net, Amazon.com. I'll see you tomorrow.
Cresta in the Afternoon is produced and distributed by Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The executive producer is Nick Tong. The technical engineer, Kara Coulter. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMaria Radio.net. To order your copy of this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506. If you had a choice, would you want to live till you're 80 or 40? Well, what about your car? 10 years or just 5 years? We can't control when we die, but you're likely to double the life of your vehicle when you get regular maintenance at Fauzi's Auto Repair.
Maintenance, it's a must. Power steering, brake, transmission. That's the last thing on their mind is changing these fluid. It's forgotten.
For example, failing to flush your engine coolant can clog the heater core. This not only can result in having no heat in the winter, but eventually produces mechanical failure.
You know, most failure is basically neglect.
Why spend thousands of dollars on mechanical failures when a small fraction can greatly extend the life of your vehicle? Go to Fauzi's Auto Repair today to see what you could potentially save in just 5 years. Call Fauzi today at 734-665-8700. Mention you're a WDEO listener for a discount. That's 734-665-8700. Fauzi's Auto Repair. It's your car, their reputation. T.A. Fuchs Church Supply on Stevenson Highway in Madison Heights, just south of 14 Mile Road, is announcing its grand reopening celebration August 13th through the 17th. And on Wednesday the 15th, watch Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo as she does her show live from 8 to 10 a.m. and sign her new book, Noise. Crest in the Afternoon will also be broadcasting live from 4 to 6 p.m. with Al signing his books before his show at 3. All week there's free lunches for those that visit from 11 to 1, so enjoy all this plus hourly drawings worth a minimum of